Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the CASA Connection podcast, where we talk about issues within the world of foster care that are very prevalent within our CASA program here at CASA of Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren counties. I'm Jeff Warren, and I'm here with our executive director.
I'm Tracy Heisler. Good morning, afternoon, whenever you're listening.
Good evening. Whenever you're listening to
pre-evening.
Yes. We have a lot of folks listening to this podcast at different times during the day. I'm really proud of where we've taken this podcast, Tracy.
I really am too. Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
It's really great. And we wanted to specifically talk on this particular episode about Women's History Month here in the month of March, here in 2024, and what Women's History Month means to us, and highlight some individuals who have really helped make that path and pave that path for women throughout the course of our history. And we got a lot of great women working here, I'll tell you that right now. And we're going to highlight that in our newsletter coming up too. Just want to let everybody know that.
Powerhouses, for sure.
Absolutely. Our case supervisors. I got to tell you really quick, and this is an aside. We didn't even talk about this before we hit the record button, but I have been the only man that has worked here at CASA Shaw for the past 6 years. And my appreciation, my level of recognition for the female experience has certainly changed over all of these years.
And I will confess, it took me a while to stop addressing my emails. Yes. Hi, ladies.
That was the best. The first few months. Folks, Tracy would send out an email. Hey, ladies. And I was like, oh, okay. It was great, though. It was great. Pure comedy. But let's get into Women's History Month here and here in this month of March. And look, I don't know if everybody realizes that Women's History Month had its origins as a national celebration in 1981 when Congress passed a law, authorized and requested the president to proclaim the week beginning March 7th, 1982 as Women's History Week. And then throughout the next 5 years, Congress continued to pass joint resolutions designating a week in March as Women's History Week. And in 1987, after being petitioned by the National Women's History Project, Congress passed a law which designated the entire month of March in 1987 as Women's History Month. So between 1988 and 1994, Congress passed additional resolutions requesting and authorizing the presidents to proclaim March of each year as Women's History Month. So since 1995, presidents have issued a series of annual proclamations designating the month of March as Women's History Month. And these proclamations, as we know, celebrate the contributions that women in general have made to the United States and to the world, and recognize the specific achievements that they have made over the course of American history in a variety of fields. And we wanted to talk about some of those folks here on this podcast. So where do you want to start?
Well, you know, I love history.
Yes.
If I were not working in child welfare, I'd be working in some facet of history.
Yep.
So for those of you who don't know about the history of child welfare, let me share with you the story of Mary Ellen Wilson. So Mary
Ellen.
Good
one to start with here.
Mary Ellen was a young girl who was orphaned, and she was placed by the courts with a couple. The husband died, the mother quickly remarried, and the mother and the stepfather severely abused this child, Mary Ellen. So there was a woman who lived next door named Etta Angel Wheeler. This was in 1873, 1874.
A few years ago.
Yeah, who witnessed the abuse that this child was experiencing.
Yeah.
And actually took it to court. And it was the first documented case of criminal child abuse.
First time it was ever documented.
Yeah, in the country. So kudos to Etta Angel Wheeler, who saw something and said something and started in motion this child welfare journey.
When you think about that, though, that moment that led to a movement of understanding, trying to curb child abuse in America, and how that trickled out into, you know, different tentacles throughout the world. It really is fascinating to think that it's taken that long, and we're still to this day dealing with child abuse in a number of ways and at a number of levels and degrees.
And you have to think about how severe that abuse was for the courts to take action.
Yeah, absolutely.
On behalf of this child.
Absolutely.
Some other women who have been big contributors to this. One who comes to mind for me is Jane Addams and the creation of Hull House in Chicago.
Yeah.
In 1889, she worked diligently not only to support children, but to support parents as well, and create a safe space where there was a standard set of community care, whether it was for housing or for food or for parenting or for, you know, how we treat each other. I think that's awesome. In 1912, the federal government established the U.S. Children's Bureau, which was the brainchild of two women, Lillian Wald and Florence Kelly. And they have largely had female heads from the very beginning, including Julia Lathrop, who was the first chief of the Bureau and who was known as America's first official mother.
Wow. That's a designation right there.
Moving forward in time, we saw Eleanor Roosevelt, who stepped up to create the United States Committee for the Care of European Children after the war to make sure that kids were taken care of. Her successor, Martha Sharp, coordinated the first transport ships, bringing orphaned European Jewish children here to the United States, as well as other kids who needed help and needed resettling.
Really quick, if you don't mind, I just want to mention Eleanor Roosevelt, her really quick, her life and her dedication to helping children, to helping those in need. I always found her life story fascinating, how she marries this man who is actually a fifth cousin to her in Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And through the course of their marriage, got to a point where they weren't in love anymore, but she wanted to make sure that she was able to use the platform that she had, the public platform she had, in order to do good for the world. And I think she really helped to lay that foundation, especially in the 20th century, for women who were able to take a platform based on who their husband was, unfortunately, because that's how things were, and to really make some good happen from it and do some good in the world. And whether or not you agree with the politics of it, at the end of the day, she was there wanting to help children and doing a really good job of it and educating the public on how important it is to be there for children. And
I agreed.
I love her story.
I do too. Mm-hmm. I think she's amazing. Yes. And she walked through the world with such grace.
Yes, absolutely.
Moving forward in time, we see Marion Wright Edelman from the Children's Defense Fund.
One of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yes.
We are fortunate here at CASA to have connections to a real leader in child welfare of Dr. Carol Spigner, who's an alumnus of Penn State and who is a national leader on the history of the child welfare system and the impacts on race and class. And works with, in fact, even just here in New Jersey, the New Jersey State Legislature, to address the disproportionality of children in child welfare. We have Angie Waters, who's the president of the board president, or not board president. She's the executive director for CASA of New Jersey, who has just done a wonderful job of moving our network forward in a way that is modernized and forward-facing, supporting families and children. And I think it's great. And just here in our office, we have just such amazing women.
I was going to mention a couple of them, because we're going to be putting in our newsletter some of these ladies, and they don't know it, and they may hear this for the first time and be like, oh my gosh, why are they doing this?
Don't talk about me.
I'll tell you right now, there are, and like I said, I'm the only man here in the office, but every single woman here in this office is such a dedicated individual, a dedicated soul to the purpose and foundation of who we are and what we do for the community. And I just I want to mention Lynn Kinkle, who I have come to adore over all these years.
Preach, me too.
Oh gosh, she's not just a fantastic case supervisor and such a professional, but her level and dedication of caringness within her heart that she has is always very prevalent.
She's an astonishingly good human.
Yes, she is. And another astonishingly good human here in our office, and I want to mention her as well. And look, they all are, and I don't think we're going to mention everybody on staff here. However, Cynthia Jagnandan.
Oh, yeah.
Holy cow. So I have been a peer coordinator on a couple cases with Cynthia, and her wanting to make sure that she is doing everything possible from a case supervisor standpoint or advocate supervisor standpoint. I'm sorry if I'm messing up the titles. I know they've kind of changed over the years. But her level of dedication as well it's reflective of the culture I think we have here in this office. And I think it's also a reflection of just where individuals come from and how they have led a life that has brought them here to CASA, because she was a CASA volunteer before she came to the staff, much like Lynn,
so
I think,
Lynn.
As well,
yeah.
Right? And you see how it works, and it works well, what we do. And because of that, people want to get involved. People want to stay. People want to work here as well. And I just want to throw a shout out to Cynthia, because she's fantastic. And like Lynn as well, just that soul that she has, that kind, caring soul, it's very prevalent every single day you talk to her.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, one of the criticisms of CASA is that we are dominated by women, that we don't have enough male voices, and that we're dominated particularly by white women.
I'm glad you brought this up. I wanted to kind of get into this a little bit too, again, as being the only male, but I mean, it's very true. But there's a reason, I think, for this.
There is, and but it doesn't mean that we can't do better.
Right.
You know, there, CASA is a time-consuming, difficult, high-skill level volunteer opportunity. And in order to dedicate the time, a lot of people need to be flexible. And when you're poor, when you're underemployed, it really can make it challenging to do this work. And the women who come to us tend to be women who are empty nesters. You know, their husbands are at their full earning power, so they have some economic leisure.
Yeah.
Their kids are gone. Mm-hmm. And that's really why it skews the way it does. But that said, I have seen really powerful and laudable outcomes when we've had men involved.
Absolutely.
When we've had people of color involved. When we've had LGBTQ advocates who are there to support kids. Everybody needs to be at the table.
Yes. Absolutely. I brought up to you in an email, full transparency, folks, I said, I'd really like to touch on within this podcast, even if it's very briefly, how the CASA experience here, whether it's through volunteerism or whether it's from a staff perspective, because there are very few males within the CASA network here in New Jersey. There are some, but there are very few. But I think it's because we as a culture still have that belief, whether it's ingrained in us from a genetic standpoint, or if it's just cultural standpoint, of course, that males, it's this alpha male type of mentality, or that men are the strength, and that women somehow, they have to just be the nurturers within a family structure or within this type of social based work. And I am very proud that I'm a male here that is hopefully just putting that small chip into that belief, that cultural belief and phenomenon that, you know what, it doesn't have to be just women who are working in this field to be able to make a difference. And I wish more men would be involved in this field, because it is not only rewarding in so many ways, but the belief of and concept of togetherness, and we can all do it together no matter what your gender is, that's really important, I think, moving forward.
And I also think how important it is for all those boys who have not necessarily had stable, positive, engaged male role models.
Yeah.
I think it's beautiful when there are safe, stable, engaged, competent men who show up every month and teach kids that men can be trustworthy.
Absolutely.
Men can be good.
Yes.
Men can be engaged. men can help you without fear or favor, you know?
Absolutely.
And that's a really important lesson, I think, when we see so many act badly, men and women, but because men are so often disengaged in these kids' lives, I think it's important that they have those really positive male role models.
It's a great way to end the male aspect of this podcast, but I will tell you
celebrating
right now,
Women's History
exactly.
Month.
We're celebrating Women's History Month here. This podcast, we're going to get back to the women. We're going to get back to one woman, in particular, that I just want to highlight really quick, and I'm going to embarrass you because it's you.
Oh,
because of where you have come from in your life and what you have done.
Thank you.
For this CASA program, for what you have done for the employees here, the community, whether it is the knowledge of being trauma-informed within our community, getting people to understand and how important ACEs are, and the kind, gentle soul that you are, you must, my friend, be celebrated. Oh, and if it's just within these, this brief moment here with these microphones in our faces,
you're
I just wanted
make
to say,
me cry.
But your life and where it has been, where it has gone, the challenges that have persisted throughout family life, throughout writing a book that is certainly making an impact as well, a positive impact. I want to say thank you, my friend, for being a wonderful woman in my life.
Thank you.
For being a wonderful woman in my life, because I don't have too many. I've got a great wife. I've got great kids. But you and I have talked about the struggles of sometimes women in our families.
Yeah.
And I just want to say thank you, my friend, for being an amazing, monumental woman in my life. So thank you very much.
Thank you for saying
that. All right. We got tears in our eyes,
folks. Well,
if
there's Men's History Month, I'm going to do it right back at you.
There shouldn't be. I hope there's not. There shouldn't be. I don't even know if there is. But that's going to end this Casa Connection podcast here. Head on over to casashaw.org and check out everything we have going on our website. We've got some great resources. And share this podcast with your friends, family, colleagues. We'd love to get the message out there a little bit more about the things we're talking about here at the Casa Connection podcast. So,
and don't forget, yes, it's March. And
it is March.
We're all a little bit Irish, except the Scottish. We're always Scottish.
There you go. Take care, folks, and we'll catch you on the next Casa Connection podcast.
Have a great day.